Hello, hello, all my precious, special little fable babies, and welcome back to Storytime, the holy grail of great stories from around the interwebs. I'm your host, Will Boss Baby McFadden. Look, I think we all know this podcast is obviously going to, like, really take off at some point in the very near future, and I realized that it might be time for me to start to build out my team, you know, other than my mom, and hire an intern slash personal assistant slash new bestie. I mean, since working for me would pretty much be the best job in the world, I thought on today's episode we would hear about some of the worst jobs in the world. And let me tell you, when it comes to shitty jobs, I am an expert on the subject. I've done everything from being a costumed character at the zoo during one of the hottest summers on record, to doing in-store infomercials selling gourmet cheese mill graters and microfiber mops during the Great Recession. One crappy job I never had was being a hotel bellboy, also known as a porter. But you know who has had that job? Jason Horton.
I used to work at the Hotel Thayer in West Point, New York, and West Point is most famous for the West Point Military Academy. And on the premises was the Hotel Thayer, a historic hotel. Presidents have stayed there, like Eisenhower. It was involved in the Civil War. It goes back a long way. I had the glamorous job of being a bellboy, or I guess the technical term is porter, but nobody calls it a porter, it's a bellboy. I was not great at my job, I wasn't exceptional, but they liked to give me other tasks as if it was more exciting, or I felt like I wasn't being challenged enough, when in reality I was happy bringing bags up and down an elevator. So one day I'm working there about 6 months or so, everything is fine. They ask me to drive a people mover. It's a pretty big truck, a big bus, to go pick up some people in town and bring them back to the hotel. I even said, I was like, I'm gonna crash into something. I'm gonna hit something. It's like, no, you're gonna be fine. We believe in you. Well, that was a huge mistake. I'm driving the people mover into the town. It's pretty narrow. Everything's pretty narrow. And regardless, the bus is pretty big. No experience driving it. I let them know right away. I was like, I don't have any experience driving any kind of bus or any kind of big truck. I was totally anxious, and I was trying to be more safe, but that was making things worse. And I backed the bus into a general's car. Smashed right into it. Pretty bad. Gets worse. The village of Highland Falls, where West Point is pretty small, so the police showed up right away. They realized I work at the hotel, they asked me for my ID. They run my license, and then I get arrested. And they impound the bus. What was I getting arrested for? Having a suspended license. It wasn't suspended for anything super wild. I had a lapse in insurance and my license was suspended. I didn't realize it was. But then I found out. So now I'm at the police station. I'm in custody. I guess it's what they have to do. They have to arrest you when you have a suspended license and you're driving around. So I had to call my manager at the hotel, and I was like, I'm getting fired. I deserve it, but I knew this was going to happen, and I was like, whatever. I call, they have to come bail me out, and they don't fire me. I was honestly shocked. I was a little bit upset. I was like, what? Like, in my mind, I was like, what kind of operation are you running here? I think in my mind, I was saying that, but probably outwardly, they probably thought, oh, you know, just a tough break, but it was my irresponsibility that my license was suspended, and I should have been less anxious and not crashed into a general's car. He was actually pretty cool, by the way. Surprise, surprise, I didn't have much interaction with him, but from what I remember, he was pretty cool. So I automatically go back to work that day. I'm working, and everything's fine. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what can I do to get fired here? I didn't want to find out, but I really wondered, and I did find out. Myself and, you know, some people from the cleaning staff and people in security and other bellboys or porters, we all had walkie-talkies and we would take turns hanging out in the presidential suites because it had a stock refrigerator, TV. So I'm in there eating all the snacks, watching TRL on MTV. And eventually I got caught, and then I found out what it took to get fired from the Hotel Thayer at West Point.
Thank you. That's why when I stayed at the presidential suite in the Hotel Thayer, the sheets were rumpled and covered with crumbs and multiple adult movies were on the bill. If you're a fan of true crime, mysteries, and strange historical events, you have got to check out Jason Horton's podcast, Ghost Town, available wherever you listen to your pods. Okay, so I'm going over my job posting right now, and I have got to say, I sound like a gem of a boss. Easygoing, very chillaxed. I mean, really, my only deal breaker is that they have to like guinea pigs. I don't have one yet, but if I do get one, then they need to be cool with it. You know what I'm saying? Also, I never knew this, but I guess if you have a business with a few fans or followers, you can legit pay someone in exposure, which is super cool and like so affordable for me. And of course, what a great opportunity for my new hire. He or she is going to learn so much, you know? Wait, maybe they should actually be paying me. Whoa, maybe I should like start a podcast training course or something. I wonder if I could find like three people to pay me to learn the tricks of the trade. And then if those three people, they brought in like, you know, three more people, and then those three people trained those three people, and then each level paid up to the next level, and then that to the next level paid a smaller percentage up to the level above them, and so on and so forth to infinity, then like, I mean, it would really be benefiting everyone. You know what I mean? Kind of like a giant pyramid with me at the top. Oh my God, what a great business model. Oh, wow. I wonder if anybody's ever thought of this before. Oh, shoot. I just realized my first interviewee is going to be here in about 5 minutes. So why don't you listen to the story from Zach Lugo while I prepare my welcome to the studio that doubles as my bedroom charcuterie board.
My overall worst job experience was about 2 years ago, back when I used to live in Idaho, which is my hometown, and it was right before I moved to California. It was the job that helped me push so hard to move to California because I hated the job, but I was a full-time butcher at a slaughterhouse. Sounds crazy, but it's true. It was during the winter, and it was a 13-hour shift, very rough. A lot of weightlifting, a lot of gross smells, a lot of terrible sights. I worked at a feedlot where we handled cattle. On our biggest day, we probably went through 390 cows in one day. That just kind of explains how much we like produce in a day and how crazy our job was. So there's a lot of people working at this factory. First of all, we're working with beef, and TSA, we have to make sure the factory is at a certain temperature, which is very, very cold, which sucks. I had to wear two hoodies, and I was freezing, and I hate the cold, so that sucked. But I'm just gonna go through a full day of my job. First, wake up, I had to be there at 6 a.m. Once I arrive there, you have to completely clean, like from your hands all the way up to your shoulders, wash them off. And then after that, you have to put on your gloves. After you put on your gloves, you put on your white apron that goes over your three hoodies that you wear because it's freezing. And then you put on these blue plastic wraps that go from your gloves over to your white apron. It like covers your whole arm. And you put both of those on. After that, if you have a knife set, which is like some people do, some people don't. I had a knife set. You put that on around your waist, which it carries a hook, two sharpeners, and three knives, different sizes. After you do that, you literally have to stretch before we work. That sounds stupid, but everyone stretches before you work. It's so funny. So we do our stretches in the morning. After you stretch, we all have our stations. When I first started working, I was folding boxes for the first hour. Then I was sorting bones, which is you have to Lego piece, puzzle these bones into 60-pound boxes, make sure they're 60 pounds, and label them. That job sucked just because I was picking up boxes and carrying them like 15 feet to the other side of the factory. Just like I was just in the small area, just loading pallets. So that was the production floor, and this is the kill floor. Once they started to see me working very quick and very fast and just like working very hard, they moved me to kill floor. Obviously, you know what I'm about to talk about. No, I didn't kill the cattle. I would never do that. I don't think I have the guts to do that. But I did scoop guts and shit off the floor, and I had to do it very quick. And let me tell you, the smells were just not fun. But after I scooped all that stuff, you have to keep the floor clean because the people who are trimming cannot slip because, like, they have knives in their hands and stuff. But after that station, I moved to the worst part of this job, the gut station. I was the only one that, like, would work it because everyone else was crying about it. No one wanted to work back there because of the smell. So what happens is there's this big trolley that, or not trolley, I don't even know what to call it, but it was like a big thing that the guts slide down. You have to pull, like, the liver, you have to pull the heart, you have to pull different things off of the guts and put them aside in bins. And then you also have to cut open the stomach and pull out all the stuff out of their stomachs, which is the most disgusting smell I've ever smelled in my life. You guys can't even imagine how bad it smells. So you grab, I have a hook in my left hand and my knife in my right hand. You hook the stomach, cut it open, and there's an open spot on this trolley that you can open it and all the stuff pushes through and goes into this, like, dumpster. And then after you do that, you pull the stomach and all the other guts that don't really matter. You pull it with your hook and pull it down the trolley, and it goes outside and it falls into a dumpster. That was the worst part because of the smell and the visuals. No one wants to see that. It's just gross. So I worked there for probably at the gut station for probably 3 weeks, and I told the boss, I was like, I cannot do this anymore, I'm sorry. So I got moved to the trimming station, which really wasn't that bad. This station is where all the cuts are produced and trimmed up. It's honestly, you work very quick at this part. And when I tell you, you need to stretch before this, like, you need to, because you will never see these people, like, paused. These people are constantly working on this meat. I worked at the end of the trimming station where you finalize the cuts, whether it's ribeye, whether it's chuck roll, whether it's bottom round flat, whether it's, you know, like, all that, all these cuts, and you just make sure there's not too much fat. We wanted it to be 80-20 depending on the day, and I had to make sure that there wasn't that much fat on it. And then you put it back on the trolley and it goes up into this 2,000 pound box, and I have to sort it and ice it. It was just a crazy job. And as you can tell, the worst part was the guts, but that is my worst job experience. It's pretty bad, I feel like. I mean, I also did work at, like, a pizza place, but that wasn't bad at all.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that story, Zach. I'm pretty sure everyone who listened to that is now a vegan. So great job. As always, you can find links to Zach's channels in the description. All right. So my first interviewee, Jamie, is almost here. And, you know, I was hoping to get a few more responses to my posting, but I guess people are just really, really busy right now, or maybe monster.com is down or something. You know, that must be it, because, I mean, this job really has everything. Flexible hours, free parking in the driveway, a comfortable office chair, a meddling mother. I mean, what more could you want? Gasp, he's here. Oh, God. Come in.
Oh, hi. Wow, this is just your bedroom?
Well, I did say it was a cozy office space.
Yeah, I guess you did.
So, feel free to sit down. Not on my bed, though. I just washed the duvet.
Is there, like, a chair, or...
Unfortunately, just the one chair that I am currently sitting in, but the rug is quite soft.
Okay, sure.
So, Jamie, first things first, how good are you at making hard-boiled eggs?
I guess fine. What's that have to do with the job?
Well, you know, I get really busy sometimes producing and hosting this podcast, and I need to make sure I'm proteining up. And it really helps to have a few boiled eggs on hand, you know, for a morning snack or an afternoon snack or an evening snack, midnight snack, middle of the night snack. I basically eat a half dozen eggs a day.
Okay. Yeah, I can boil an egg.
Well, it's not really that simple. I mean, there is a certain art to it.
Okay, man. Whatever way you need me to make an egg, I'll learn to make an egg. Cool. Yeah.
Sure. Great. So, next question. Would you say you're more of a soprano or more of a baritone?
Like my voice? Or...
Yeah, do you take high harmony or low harmony? Which one?
I guess baritone? Wait, why? Am I going to be, like, in the podcast?
Oh, God, no. Have you heard your voice? No, leave that to the professional. Me, that's me. I'm the professional. You know, sometimes I like to spontaneously harmonize, and I usually go high like I just did there. So if you also went high, then we'd be competing for the same parts, and that just wouldn't work for me.
Sure did. Okay. Is that optional?
Is what optional?
The singing.
No.
Oh. Okay.
You know what? Something tells me that you're not taking this interview seriously.
Listen, I really just need the college credits, so...
Oh, actually, this internship pays in exposure, so no college credit.
But your posting said that this was a position for college credits.
Well, in theory, it is.
What does that even mean?
Look, I thought about it, and I, like, made one phone call, and then I found out that there is so much paperwork, and ugh, yuck, no thank you.
So no college credit?
Yeah, no, I don't know how to do any of that.
What the f-
Okay, you know what? I'm so sorry, but I gotta say, I think I have to fire you.
What? You haven't even hired me.
Hey,
what?
Do not make me call security slash my mom in here, okay? Her shoes are very pointy, and her legs are super strong. She was a pole vaulter in high school.
Whatever, bro, I'm out of here.
Yeah, bro, you are out of here, and stay out of here. Oh, God. What an idiot. Good help is hard to find, you know? Why don't you listen to this next story from Amir Yasai while I eat an egg and try to stop sweating.
I worked as a publicist for about 15 years. I worked with Michael B. Jordan, Gwen Stefani, Melissa McCarthy, Childish Gambino. The list goes on and on. I've also worked with a lot of B-list people. So on this frightful morning, my boss said that she wanted me to fill in for her. So I was supposed to go to Fox TV. Fox, I think it was like the daily, I don't know, the morning show or something. So I arrive at Fox. I'm kind of being shuffled around. And I get to the green room and I realize it's Erika Jane, honey. If you don't know who Erika Jane is, it's Pat the Puss from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's embroiled in a fraud scandal right now. So karma is a bitch, honey. Anyways, when I got there, I went up to her and I introduced myself and I said I'm on behalf of blah, blah, blah. And she ice, honey. She gave me icy, icy icers. So I was like, okay. So I went back and sat in my corner like a good little publicist does in the green room, honey. And I took a seat and I waited to get further directions. The producer came over to me and said, well, her book is on TV in the next couple of minutes. So you do need to go over there and tell her to get ready to walk, because she was wearing some insane, crazy skyscraper heels. I mean, it was nuts. So I go up to her and she, again, gives me the dirty looks. I think she thought I was someone else or something. And I go over to her and I'm like, well, your book's being promoted, Pretty Mess or whatever. And I'm like, go, like, we need to get ready to go. And she's like, no, I'm talking to my dancers. And I knew one of her dancers, so, or makeup artist or something. And he was like, oh, I did, God, what is her name? Megan Trainor's makeup, and it looked really horrible. And all I said was, oh my God, I'm sure it did. And then Erika turns as if I'm not there and goes, don't talk about your former clients with this person. I'm like, I'm not a stranger, love. I'm filling in for your publicist, quick, quick, bitch. So anyway, she gave me dirty looks. And at that point, she really hated me. So again, I come over to her and the producer from Fox is like, you have 30 seconds. Like, she needs to walk over. She's going to miss her segment. Like, it's literally coming up after the commercial break. So I go over to Eric and I'm like, you need to go on TV. And she's like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, I'm in charge. Get your ass up. And that's when I kind of lost it. And I was like, get your ass up. You gots to move. And again, being a publicist is essentially being an expensive babysitter. You literally have no rights and you don't want to be in any photos. You're always hiding everywhere. You're wearing all black. You're treated like dirt. And so she was just another example of that. So she walks over, she does her live thing, she did a great job, blah, blah, blah. So we go to her iconic office, and if you're a Bravo fan and you've watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know that her office is iconic. Whatever, we get there, and again, mind you, side note, I'm a fan, I'm a gay man. Gay people made Erika Jane, so don't forget that. She was at Pride when nobody gave a crap about her and we waited in line to see her. So I just wanna say the gays made Erika Jane for the cheap seats in the back. Anyways, so I go over to her and I'm introduced, like her publicist, which I know introduces us. And he's like, oh, this is Amir. And she's like, oh, I know who he is. I know who he is. And it was just like, whoa, what did I even do to you? And then my boss got there and she was doing an interview with her and she was so icy. It was like pulling teeth. So the interview did not go well. And so it was just continuous, just hate coming, spewing everywhere. It was a nightmare. So then she does her interview, whatever. You can see it on YouTube, honey. Look it up. Look it up. Anyways, long story short, I'm getting in my car. And mind you, I had mono. So I was like dying. I literally had strep throat or something. I was so, so sick. And I still did my job to the best of my abilities. Anyways, I get a call from my boss and she's like, oh my God, there's so much drama. Mind you, I'm like literally napping after this long day. She's like, there's so much drama. Erica Jane is saying that you were rude to her. You harassed her. Where? When did I harass her? What are you even talking about? So I go over and I see all of these text messages. My boss is like, I can't. I disassociate with you. Erica Jane called her from a private plane flying to Vegas and tried to get me fired. Said that I was rude, that I was making stuff up about her. I was talking bad about her. The only thing that was said bad was about Meghan Trainor, poor thing, that her makeup didn't look good. And I didn't even see the photo. I don't even know what she looked like. So it was just, it was crazy nuts. So yeah, Erica Jane tried to get me fired from a freaking private jet, from a PJ, honey, and it worked. I never worked with this person again. So thanks a lot, Erica Jane. But also I got on TikTok, honey, and I talked all these deets out and everybody saw it. And her publicist, who used to be my friend, reached out and tried to do a cease and desist. Honey, I'm telling the truth. You're not gonna close my mouth if I'm telling the truth. So that is one of many horrible jobs I've had in Hollywood. I've had to pick up people's dog shit. I've had to deliver drugs. I've had to deliver dresses during the Emmys, put a belt on a private plane to New York. I've done it all. Deliver Del Taco at 5 a.m. Honey, publicists do it all. We try to keep you out of jail. We are Postmates. We do it all. We're matchmakers. So the list goes on and on. But yeah, that was a horrible job that I had with Erica Jane. You know, when you're not good to people, especially people that are doing you a service, you never know where they're going to end up, honey, with a platform and I talk about these things. Erica Jane, I wish you all the best, honey. No, I don't. Next.
Wow, I think I'm going to need a bucket and a mop to clean up all that tea that Amir just spilt. If you want more Amir, you absolutely must listen to his podcast, The Take On, where he and his guest take on life. There may or may not be a guest on an upcoming episode whose name rhymes with Schmil Schmick Schmadden. Schminks in the Schmishmixion. Hey, you know what? Amir's story made me realize I don't need a personal assistant or publicist or a best friend. The last thing I need is someone bringing me drugs, Del Taco, and a girlfriend at 5 a.m. You know? I think I'm okay on my own for now. I don't need help. I got this. And you know what? You got this too. Whatever you want to get, you got it. Because you are all strong, independent, hardworking Fable babies, and I love each and every one of you. Hey, Mom! Can you get me Del Taco? Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. As always, I want to give a big-ass shout-out and thank you to our fearless storytellers. Head on down to the description and click the links to subscribe to their channels. Would you like to be a featured storyteller on an upcoming episode of Storytime? If you have a great story to share, record it and send it on down to storytime@collab.inc. Or you can call the Storytime hotline and leave us a message. Give us a call at 323-741-1873. And we'll share our favorites on our next listener episode. Oh, you're still listening? Cool, cool, cool. Well, if you've gotten this deep into the episode, you might as well rate it, review it, and share it with a friend or an enemy. Makes no difference to me as long as I get those sweet, sweet streams. Storytime is produced by iHeartRadio and Collab. Executive producers Eric Jacks, Song Kang, and Will McFadden. Hosted by Will McFadden. Produced by Jessica Eccles, Jason Shapiro, Daniela Mora, and Jenny Ulmer. Written by Jenny Ulmer. Sound design by Tony Maddox. Voice acting by Tom Szymanski. Original score by Scott Simons. Cover art by John Kusagaya. Animation by Bella Bouchon.